Let us turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 21 and read the verses 15 through 21, I believe, or through 19. John 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And then for our text this morning, I was thinking, what shall I preach? I actually didn't know what was being preached till only very recently. But I thought, let me preach on something that does relate to the resurrection, but that will give an emphasis that you might not expect today. And that's verse 15 and verse 16 and verse 17, but then not the whole verses. What I'm trying to do this morning is not give you that whole detail of Jesus appearing to the disciples around the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, and then addressing especially Peter and having him think through the question of, "Do you love me?" That's a sermon by itself. I'm kind of leaving that to the side. But I would like to focus particularly on the charge that he gave Peter. And I was thinking that's a charge especially for ministers. So I hope to preach to myself, as ministers, I think, usually do, if not always. But it's also a charge to the elders. And it's a charge to the deacons. And you could say it's a charge to the Sunday school teachers or the catechism teachers. But you could also say it's a charge for mothers and for fathers. And it's a charge for grandparents to their grandchildren. "Feed my sheep." But let's read just those three words, or those three phrases, in verse 15. These words where Jesus at the end of that verse says to Peter, "Feed my lambs." And then at the end of verse 16, "Tend my sheep." And then at the end of verse 17, "Feed my sheep." Those three phrases. And notice that there's a little difference each time. The first one, feed my lambs rather. Secondly, "Tend my sheep." And then thirdly, "Feed my sheep." That'll be the text. It's a very touching passage in the Scriptures, beloved congregation, that we have before us this morning, as well as this afternoon. It shows us a very touching care on the part of this good shepherd, Jesus, for his sheep, whom he is about to leave, in the sense that he will leave them to go to heaven to be with his Father, and from heaven at the right hand of the Father to care for them and to make use of indeed under shepherds such as Simon Peter. And you know various sheep of this great shepherd even in the scriptures, such as Mary Magdalene. You can think of his mother as being one of his sheep as well. You can think of Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, and you could perhaps write down a whole page with names. He knows he will be leaving them, and he is specifically appointing his apostles, his former disciples, and they will remain his disciples in a sense, but to be apostles, but also to be under shepherds and to care for those sheep, guide them, direct them, and feed them. Surely a passage like this tells us about the kind of care that this shepherd is showing for his sheep. He knows their needs. He's been with them for some time. And in his omniscience, he knows their very hearts and thoughts. Now, we know that God does that. He does know all these things, don't we? That's the truth right throughout the Old Testament. For he knows our frame, Psalm 103. He remembers that we are dust. How true that is. But it's not just a general truth. It is also the truth of our text. And you must have noticed the difference of the three phrases before us this morning. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And feed my sheep. That's indeed how it's put in the original. Feed my lambs. And then tend, or you could also translate secondly, shepherd my sheep. And then thirdly, feed my sheep. Actually, the last phrase should have been translated a little better than it is in the Bible. Because it really, the Lord Jesus uses a word that we no doubt today would translate, if I'm not mistaken, feed my dear sheep. So feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and then feed my dear sheep. Now think about that, lambs, sheep. My dear sheep. Does that mean that Jesus has three different categories in view? Does he mean the lambs there, the little ones, and then the sheep, they're a little older, and then the deer are the oldest? I believe that the three different words used here all have the very same sheep in mind. Or the very same lambs in mind. Think about it like this. He speaks about his people in three somewhat different ways. He looks at them from three different angles. He calls all his sheep lambs. And he calls all of them sheep. And he calls all of them my dear sheep. There's that little difference I called attention to in that last word. It's a word that expresses a very tender affection. Points to the intimacy between the Lord and his people. A relationship of love. Why? Well, obviously for two reasons. First of all, because his Father, God the Father, loved them from eternity. And he gave them all to his Son. And the second reason is that the Son, Jesus, has purchased them with the price of his blood. They are his. He has a right to them. He has a relationship of tender affection with them. And because of that relationship of love, he calls the under-shepherds to love his sheep and to love them in the way that he also loves them. I was thinking this morning, it's like when grandparents have to look after the grandchildren. And the first time that happens, when at least I remember that, when we had one of the grandchildren at our home and she came to our home, we wanted to be exactly like the parents. Not give any less love, not any more either in a certain sense. And the time that she slept at our home, I know that in the night I was awake a couple of times, got up, and I just went to look at the crib where she was sleeping. Just want to make sure that I would love her the way her mom would maybe get up in the night and say, wonder how little Jane or whatever her name was is doing. And that's how the Lord appoints under shepherds, fathers and mothers and deacons and elders and ministers, to show the very same love and care for his sheep. And the remarkable thing about this congregation is the sheep of the Lord Jesus. They are not so such nice sheep of themselves. If you think of Peter, was Peter such a nice disciple of Jesus? Surely not after he had denied him 3 times. And the same applies to me. Am I such a loving sheep or lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not of myself. It's only because of his love. It's only because of his good pleasure. And it's only because of that, that they are dear to him and precious. And it tells us something, congregation, about Jesus' love for his disciples. It tells us, for example, that he knows his sheep, his lambs, so well. He knows their nature. He knows their character. He uses the best words to describe them. First of all, he calls them lambs. That refers to their weakness, we could say. Sometimes you may think that there are certain believers that are weak and others are strong. But you need to realize that all believers in Christ are weak in and of themselves. All believers in Christ are, to use another phrase from the Bible, are bruised reeds in and of themselves. All of them need to be fed and need to be strengthened by the proper food. And notice, secondly, that all the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, or all his people, are sheep. Sheep. That's the word that pictures their proneness to wander, to go astray. Sheep are not only in need of food, but they also, because of their proneness to wander, are in need of being shepherded, being tended, guided, corrected. And notice that they are his sheep. He calls them that. My lambs, my sheep, my dear sheep. And because they are dear to him, he gives them loving, tender care. And he expects the under shepherds also to do the very same as he does. Now, what do we learn from this congregation? The first thing that we learn here is that God's children are and remain needy in themselves because of their weakness, their vulnerability. Isn't it true that God's children, from time to time, struggle with doubt and fear? And at times bewilderment. There is so much in their lives that confuses them at times. And even if they have known the Lord and followed the Lord already for years, they can still struggle with doubts and fears and bewilderment. Who of God's children is not weak in himself and experiences that weakness from time to time? But the shepherd knows their weaknesses. And he says to Peter, "Feed my lambs." Feed them. And secondly, we learn from this that God's children are still God's, Christ's sheep. And even his dear sheep. And we ministers, we need to remember that. You elders need to remember that. And parents need to remember that for their children. Sometimes as a minister, you get into an argument with a member. Well, not really. But it does happen. You debate an issue. And I've had it in my ministry that they said to me, "Pastor, there's the door. Go." And I walked out. I tried to dissuade them. No. And then I came home and I thought, oh. And we talked at consistency, so you better go back. "Well, brother, you better go. He doesn't want to see me." No, you go back, Pastor. And then you go back. And then to love them. And to feed them. So we need to remember it. And when somebody throws you out, as not that that has happened often in my ministry, it's happened. It happened that I was there with an elder, and both of us were thrown out, almost physically. But we had to go back, and we had to treat that man as a dear sheep, but he needed to be corrected, he needed to be admonished. But he needed to be treated as a dear sheep of the Lord. How can you see that? If you see that the Lord considers such a brother dear by his blood and by his love. Not because he's such a nice man in himself, but if Christ calls them my dear sheep, can we say it? They are his dear sheep. We'll treat them as his dear sheep. And they become dear also to us. Don't you hear the gospel in our text, congregation? Jesus says to Peter, "My lambs, my sheep, my dear sheep." They're simple phrases, but there is an amazing depth of love in those phrases. There you have his grace. In summary, God's people are needy, but he says they are my sheep. He's not ashamed to call them his sheep. And if they are his sheep, no matter how needy, no matter how destitute they are, he cares for them. And he says to Peter, "You care for them." And then notice something else, and that's our second point, the nourishment of the sheep. The nourishment of the sheep. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but Jesus does not say to Peter, "Clothe my sheep." He doesn't say to Peter, "Wash my sheep." And that may well be necessary as well. But that's not what he says. The first need for them is to feed them on account of their weakness, they need to be fed, and only by giving them the proper food will their weakness be overcome. Now that's a very significant point here, dear congregation, and especially important for parents to note and for office bearers to note. Because what kind of food do the sheep need? What kind of food? And this is an area that many churches differ on. Many people think that they need to be fed with all kinds of self-help, tap into all kinds of popular psychology, or a gospel of prosperity. They even teach him, and that can be useful as well, but they teach him a program on how to deal with finances, or they have a 40-step program for something else. But that's not what Jesus means here when he says, feed my sheep. They have to be given some food. What kind of food? Well, clearly not the food that the under-shepherd prepares by himself. And he gives that to them to eat. But what's the food for the sheep? It's the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the law of God for Christ's sake. That alone can strengthen them. Not the under-shepherd's personal ideas. That would do the lambs, the sheep, no good. They can't remove their weaknesses by giving them their own personal lessons. The only thing that can strengthen them in their weakness is the word of God. And when later Peter writes his first epistle, can you think of a verse in 1 Peter in which Peter says what they need to eat? Think of 1 Peter 2, verse 1, where he says, as newborn babes, you could say that's another word for lambs. As newborn babes, he says, desire, what is it? The sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Milk. The milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And it's important that anyone who feeds the sheep, gives them the milk, also the meat. But Peter writes here about the milk. Take them in the green pastures of God's word and teach them the grand doctrines of Jesus Christ and the truth of the word of God. And do you know what happens if we as ministers, or as elders, or as deacons, or if parents withhold this word of God from the sheep, do you know what happens to them? Then they become very lean lambs with no meat on their bones. Then they have nothing of strength. Then they have no personal conviction based on the word of God. They will only know a little wee bit of truth of the word of God, but they will not be rooted in the word of God. Or, and that would even be worse, if under shepherds do not feed them the word of God, then these lambs end up being goats or wolves. Indeed, persons who have maybe still the appearance of a lamb, but in their hearts they are no lambs. So the question, congregation, what is it that we are eating? I don't know if you think in church of church as a place to eat. You think maybe a peppermint. Can I have another candy, Mom? That's not the kind of, I'm not saying that you may not have a peppermint. But what is it that you are eating in church? I attended a church somewhere during the week where a minister was ordained to the ministry. And the minister, after he had been ordained, preached on this passage, on this verse. And then he said to the congregation, when you come to church on Sundays, don't just sit here and go home. You got to eat here. The word of God. Eat it. And then the congregation looks funny. He said, what do you mean I have to eat? Yeah, you have to take it in. You have to hear. Receive it. And it has to go into you. And when you are in the hallway or in the parking lot or down for a coffee, don't talk it away. We tend to do that. Doesn't that happen here, Mitchell? I've noticed that we talk it away. We say to one another, did you get yourself a new dress? I like it. Or, did you get a new hairdo? You got a new car. What is it? And the conversation is not about the word. Eat. And then it needs to be digested. Speak about the, I've so often heard a congregation say, Pastor, you don't make sense because you can't always talk about the word of God. There's a time for everything, but eat the word of God. If you think back to last Lord's Day, when you sat in church on Good Friday, were you feasting on the word of God on Good Friday? Were you feasting last Lord's Day? And are you feasting, as it were, this morning? I remember a young man who was really very busy in life. He had more than one job, and he really meant very well. But he was so busy that he had hardly time to eat. Often on the road, and all he did is he took some Pop-Tarts along, and then he didn't even think of food, but then he realized, oh, I should have something. He would just take a little Pop-Tart, and he would go on. And one day he felt inside his stomach a terrible pain. And it got to be so bad, he ended up in the ER, in the hospital. And they did all kinds of tests and scans. And at the end of it all, the doctor came and sat beside his bed. And he said to him, you know, Jim, you need to start eating. And you need to start eating proper food and at proper times. Your internal organs have become enlarged because you have not been eating proper food. Now, how many of us would be like that spiritually speaking, that all we like is really some Pop-Tart or something else? But our soul is about to collapse. Christ knows his sheep, and he knows their most basic need is his word. I know of a minister who in this regard got off track. He loved books. And he read the one book after the other, and he even neglected his visitation in the congregation. He was so in love with the latest books and many books that were not such bad books. But he did not have time to read the Bible because he was always in his books. And one day his wife faced him up to it and said, let's call him Jim. It was not his name, but his wife came to her husband in his study, and she said to him, honey, something is wrong. I know that I don't know as much as you do, she said to her husband. But I know you are not in the Word of God as you should. and everything else is suffering. You're just running in little circles for yourself. And everybody else is suffering. We as a family are suffering. The congregation is suffering. You need to repent of what you have been doing. And you need to get into the Word of God before it's too late. Well, that was quite a lesson for her husband. Is there anyone in church this morning who hears what this minister's wife was saying to her husband? Christ says to Peter, "Peter, my sheep need my word. Give them that food." Think of it this way, that Christ is giving each of us his precious words as food for your and my soul. Will you turn away from this feast of fat things and feed on wind? Take stock today. What have you been eating spiritually? Ask yourself before the Lord, "Lord, is this what I need spiritually? Is this what I need to be the person that you are calling me to be? Husband and father, or wife and mother? Or what you call me to be as a teenager? Or as an older person?" Don't excuse yourself with this or that, but ask yourself, what are the reasons that I am not more into the Word of God, if that is indeed true? Where is my focus? Where do I give my energies? Have I been wandering from the pastures of the Word of God? Confess it to the Lord and seek His pardon and ask His Holy Spirit to enable you to feast on the Word of God. Let's move to our third thought, the nurture of the sheep. Something else that I noticed, that Christ does not simply say to Peter, "Peter, my sheep need food." But he says, "Feed my sheep." Does it not make you think of an occasion during Jesus' ministry that there were thousands of people following Jesus, and it was by the end of the day, and the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, send these people home. They've been without food and proper drink for a long time." And Jesus said to them, "You give them to eat." "We?" Jesus said, "You. You give them to eat." And then you remember they had to tell the people, "Sit down," by 50s. And they had to see if there was some food, those loaves and those fishes. And Jesus thanked, he looked to heaven, and he blessed his Father. And the food was multiplied, and he manifested himself in his glory. Was that not the beginning of Jesus teaching his disciples what he is doing here with Peter? "Feed my sheep." And again, Peter, later on writing his first epistle, he writes something very similar, does he not? 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 3, he says, "The elders among you I exhort, who am also an elder, feed," you could also translate there, "shepherd, the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not for dishonest gain, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but do it willingly, eagerly, as being lords," not as being lords rather, "over those entrusted to you, that being examples, but be examples to the flock." There you have it. So feed the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. And then you have to realize what it is you have to feed them with. You don't just give them a Bible and say, well, we know you have not been reading your Bible from our last visit, so we decided to bring you a Bible. Here it is. You better start soon. We'll come back how far you get. No. Feed them with the Word of God. But then you have to know as a under shepherd what it is to read the Bible and to get food from the Bible. And then that's how you teach the members in the congregation. I have the practice congregation in my ministry that I usually ask for a Bible at the beginning of a visit. And I say, and the congregation knows, and I say, would you select the passage? And that's sometimes asking too much. Then they say, you need to do that, Pastor. That's your job. They say, no, but just read what you read earlier this morning, maybe. No, I didn't read. Well, then what you read yesterday, well, I didn't read. Is there anything that comes to mind from the Bible? No. No, then you help them. You work through it. And you teach over the years that, and I'm telling you in a sense my story, congregation. Jane and I, we read the scriptures every year. From Genesis to the end of Revelation. And not only the Old Testament in the morning, but we start in the Old Testament and then something from the middle of the Bible at noon, and then another passage, the New Testament at supper time, and then at bedtime another passage. And you know something, if you do it for many years, you read things you don't understand, Leviticus, Numbers, and you read it year after year. Well, then you make use of a beautiful commentary like Matthew Henry or something else. But even if you are not a commentary reader, you know that if you keep on searching the scriptures prayerfully, that over the years you come to so love the Word of God. Love the book of Leviticus. Can you imagine it? Love the book of Numbers. Love the book of Proverbs. You pray before you read. You pray the Lord after you read. You talk about it together. Your wife says, now that's a lesson for you and me, Lawrence. That sort of a thing. Teach one another and teach the members. Can I help you? Maybe can I help you this month to work through the book of Isaiah? And I have met members in the congregation who do this. I have a lady in the congregation in Grand Rapids without any names, but who, when she was 93, I visited her and I said, what shall we read? She says, you know, Pastor, I just finished studying the book of Job. It's taken me a long time now, she said, but I went over a chapter and chapter again, and I just finished it yesterday. That's what God does when he teaches you his word. That's the privilege of the ministry when you visit, when the elders visit. Where are you in the scriptures? And then you can say, well, we just read this yesterday. Don't understand it. Can I help you? We need to be fed by the word. Speak, Isaiah 50 verse 4, speak a word in season to him who is weary. But then you need to do that in your own life. Then you need to know what it is to feed on the Word, to be taught by the Word. And then you need to know what it is that you are a dear sheep of the Lord. And maybe you can say, the Lord used elder so-and-so to open the scriptures to me, or pastor so-and-so to open up the Word of God to my soul. But the elders and the deacons and the pastors and the parents, we have to shepherd. We have to shepherd the sheep. tend to the sheep. It has a broad meaning, that word tend or shepherd. It includes correcting the sheep. It includes guiding the sheep. It includes everything that it takes in taking the oversight of the sheep. When you see something wrong, you say, can we talk about this? Are you not doing this wrong? Well, why? And you open the scriptures. This is what it says. Oh, that's a lesson I must learn. And if then the sheep still continue to stray away, then as an under shepherd, you are to go after him. I don't want to see you for a while. Can I come back next week? No, not next week. How about the week after? No. How about next month? Oh, that's only a couple of weeks. How about the month after? Okay. June 1. And I knock on the door. Oh, that's you. Yeah, can I come in? Shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. Let's read the scriptures together. Let's speak about God and about his Christ and his words. And your life. And your marriage. That's tending to the sheep. And congregation, that's one of the reasons that God has given you office bearers. To remind you continually of your calling and to remind you of the dangers, your pitfalls, your snares, and enemies in the forms of robbers and wolves or whatever. There are so many that seek to devour you and me, who seek to steal and seduce the sheep by false teachings and heresies. There's so much that can disturb the peace of a congregation, the peace of the sheep, whereby they are separated from the Lord. And the under-shepherd must therefore continually shepherd the sheep, watch diligently and carefully and lovingly, knowing the dangers and speaking about those dangers and warning that the sheep will not go into the areas, calling them back. Come back, my friend. And brothers, elders, if I may say to you, and pastor, and deacons, you know, that's the calling God has given you. It's a responsibility. And to do it, you need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. How true that is. That's why after this, Christ, when he had gone to heaven, sent his Holy Spirit so that they didn't have to cough up the strength themselves and the insight and the love. It's in him through his word and spirit. But it's also a great privilege that the Lord has given us to do this task. And especially when in the contact with the sheep, you can sit with someone and you can say, are you beginning to understand this passage? And okay, I think so. And then try to say, is there something else that is here? Or is there something else in our text this morning that I haven't mentioned to you? Is it not this? And that's what you do in a visit. It's this, what is it? Because you see, up to this point, you and I are listening and you think, okay, that makes sense, needs to be done. We go home, so we better do it now. What is the key here? Who is speaking these words to Peter? It's Christ. He has just come from the grave. From the grave. Before the grave, he had been on the cross. Who is this? Jesus, the Son of God. Who is he? He assumed flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, and he became a sheep himself. What did he live by? The Word of God. He knew the Scripture so well. But this sheep was taken as a lamb to be slaughtered, not to be fed, but to be killed. And he gave himself so willingly. He became the lamb who opened not his mouth. And he laid down his life. Why? For you. Because you are a sheep, prone to wander, conceived and born in sin, stained by so much other sin. Foul and full of sin we are. And he said, I'll come and I'll pay for your sin. And you see it happening in the Scriptures. The food for you. What do you see happening? That he gave himself to the cross. He let his hands get pierced. His feet pierced. And he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. And he did it so willingly, so lovingly for his sheep and for his Father. And is it not so that when you see him on the cross, that you begin to cry inside? That you say, are my sins then that bad? And when you get a broken heart, you come to love him. You come to love him as your dear Savior and your Lord. And you come to have a burden, a desire to be an under-shepherd for others. To bring them the food of Christ, his word, that they may be saved, that they may be fed, that they may be the sheep that walk closely behind the shepherd. May the Lord give it to all of you, congregation. Don't walk out and say, I know all that. It needs to live in you. If you're still indifferent, today the Lord says, I want to feed you. Here it is, my food. Here is myself. Eat my body. Drink my blood. In me is life. Apart from me is death. Brothers, let it be your privilege. Congregation, let it be your privilege. Now and always. For Jesus' sake. Amen.